Again, as we read and study and preach in Galatians, I'm really amazed about the complexity of the address from Paul to the believers in Galatia. And even though it is complex, it is still simple. There's just one gospel, one good message from God to the world. And this message is Christ. It can't be simpler than that. And there is no simpler way to explain it. Christ Jesus with us is the gospel. But still, this simple message is complex because it permeates all the areas of our lives. And sometimes in ways that we didn't even know. And since today is Father's Day, I want to say happy Father's Day to all of you. But being a father is also one of those things that is a simple thing, but very complex. It's complex in all its implications. The father's role in a child is just incredible. And some may even say that it is one of those roles that is impossible, because there's no way it can be done perfectly. Why? Because it's done by imperfect people. Yet this role is a powerful role in the life of a child. And I'll get back to this idea in a little while. But first, let's see what Paul is leading us here and what he's trying to say. Paul has been defending his position of the gospel of Jesus as it is expressed to the, it was expressed to the Gentiles. And in Galatia, there was this threat, a challenge to the message of Paul. And Paul engages that threat with teaching. He is then sending a note to the Galatians so that they could hear his teaching words. And that teaching calls them to examine the role of the law given to the Jews in light of the work of Jesus on behalf of humanity. And the passage calls the law a disciplinarian. And I know that some of us, when we hear discipline, we just have this jerking reaction. Right? Well, it's only me. When we hear that word discipline or disciplinarian, it's always like, wait a minute. I don't need that, right? In the times of Jesus and Paul, a disciplinarian was a guardian, a keeper. It was a person that protected but also restricted access. Literally, it meant to be kept in a ward or kept in ward. So a disciplinarian can be seen as an external enforcer of discipline. It was an external motivation so that a child would know where to go, where not to go, when to go, and when to stop. And the term discipline is one of those terms that is presented in a negative connotation. Again, limiting, right? Limiting our freedom. And we don't all respond the same way to discipline. We might embrace discipline or reject it. We might feel the benefits of its goodness, but not always like its implications. Because it's a matter of the will, right? I don't know if you remember when you were a child, but I remember that whenever I heard the voice of my parents saying no, it was a challenge. And it became so common that it became one of those things that it was like, no, oh yay! So that's why they used a disciplinarian in order to keep that constant external motivation present in the child's life so that the child will learn the ways. So I'll try to interject here the power of that father's role in a child's life, because it has a similarity with the role of the disciplinarian. Personally, I have two examples that come to mind. You see, my grandfather is one of them. He was not perfect, not a perfect man, but he was a great guy. And he had a great impact in my life. And mostly, that impact came from and through my mom's experience. By her telling me the story of how her parents had divorced at a critical time in her life, I learned about this power. This happened when she was an adolescent and living in New York, at the times where the gangs were all over the place and groups and clans would hang around with each other. Very hard times in the family that marked her life experience. Now, my mom could have held a grudge against her dad. But mostly, whenever she spoke, she saw him in all the good things that my abuelo, my grandfather, Elias, did in her life. Interesting. You see, you could have seen this person as, why did you abandon us, right? But instead, she saw him as for who he was and the things that he had helped instill in her life. And I still hear the voice of admiration whenever she speaks of her dad, even when he had failed to keep that family together. And as I grew up going to his house and a little farm in the mountains, I never had a sense that this was a terrible man because of the way that she spoke to us about him. The second example that I have is my own wife's own story with her dad. After her parents divorced, she did not meet him until she was about 18 or 19 years old. And he had not been part of her life at all for a long time or had any contact. But they were still able to have an amicable and a loving relationship until he died. And I think that had to do with, again, those messages coming from her mom to her. Never speaking ill of him, but simply that things had not gone well with them. My mom also shared another story with me the other day. And she shared about this, a story about when she was a principal in a school in Puerto Rico. And this man shows up to the school. And shows up to her office and he asks for this kid who is in the school to see if he could see him. And of course she interviewed him. She didn't know who he was. But once she learned that it was legit, she sent for the boy. And the boy came into her office and the first words out of his mouth were, "Are you my dad?" See, he had been in prison for several years and not even had the opportunity to meet him. She said this, that the boy told his dad, "Do you know that I need you?" You see, that father's role is so powerful. And it really doesn't have much to do with us as fathers, but of the power that we have in a child's life. And it's so powerful that even it exerts influence in a person, even when it's absent. You see, the difficult thing about all these examples is, how do we honor fathers? Right? Even when they are not perfect. How do we honor parents, even when they don't deserve it? And I guess there's somewhat of a comparison here to that disciplinarian that Paul describes. I don't think that Paul is saying that the law is invalid or bad because it didn't do its job. You hear that? Because if everybody knows, again, I've talked about going 36 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone, right? What does that do? It makes you a violator of the law. I think that he is saying that the law has this role in people's lives. And the role that the law of the Jews had was to lead or disciple them and us to Christ. And I truly believe that the power of the Father's role is the power of love. That relationship, an intimate relationship, can happen even if it's disconnected. Isn't that strange? Even when that person is not even present, that person still means something to us. There's been more than one person that has said, "I miss having a dad. I miss having them present in our life." Why would we miss it when that person wasn't present? Actually, that's a link of love. That's the connection, the power of love for someone that is part of our lives. And then we refer to the power of a relationship between a child and his mom or dad. It is just indescribable. Because of love, we need them. And I think that is the power that God's love has in our lives. We need God. We need that connection. It's like we're born with that necessity of having this grander love in our lives. He gave us the law. He gave it to Israel as a disciplinarian until Christ came, because he loved us. Now Christ, for the Galatians, becomes the law. And for us, Christ becomes the law. The one law that we could not completely perform or adhere to, or we could not fully follow. And we want to just make that connection that it is the Father who sent him. It is our Father God who sent Christ to us so that we could have life even when we could not fulfill the law. Now, as you know, and I've mentioned this week, I spent time with the youth in our Christian fellowship, youth fellowship camp. And I spent time with kids that were dealing with the effects of the power of fatherhood in their lives. Kids entering the stage of life in which they are wanting to be independent. Anyone connects with that, right? Wanting to be independent and do their own thing, be their own selves, be able to express everything that is in them, and still want that approval, that affirmation of their individuality. And dealing also with the effects of getting or not getting that approval or affirmation from dad or mom. You see, absentee parenthood can happen even when the parent is present. But in their absence, there's more than a disciplinarian. There's Christ Himself. And I came to see how kids who were struggling and dealing with all these questions and that powerful love connection with parents and not able to explain it or fulfill it or not have their affirmation or not have their approval, not understanding each other, come to a place where they could experience peace. Because Christ was there. And if there is a place where we can find commonality, it is in Christ, isn't it? If there is a place where we can find solace, it's in Christ. If there is a place where we can find fulfillment, even when we know that we don't have it all, that we don't have all that we need or that we don't really understand all who we are, it's in Christ. Whether we've had a father or not, whether that father was exemplary or not, we do have a heavenly Father. My mom always said, well, I didn't have that father figure growing up, but I had Christ. I had God the Father who really taught me the lessons that I needed. And through God, I was able to see my dad in a different light. I love him. You see, I think that that's really what love is all about. Love is what makes that connection for human beings so significant. And connection is all about being one together. And Paul uses that, the idea of baptism, right, to elicit that image of unity for those who believe. If we are in Christ, we can see through all the cultural barriers, right? Jews, Gentiles, right? Puerto Ricans and Americans. Hello. We can see through all economic statuses, whether we are well off or not. We can see through all gender barriers, right? And of course, gender has become a bigger issue nowadays in our culture. And we can see through all those and be counted as Abraham's offspring. Not because we have a cultural leg up, or because we have an economic status leg up, or because of our gender situations. We find ourselves connected to the one we're included. We're included. According to the promise, everyone who believes in Christ is included. And that's exactly what I wrote here. Amen. Just imagine if we didn't have Christ. Imagine if we didn't have that leg up. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the message that Paul gives to the Gentiles. A message that transcends all the things that we find and use to limit access to who you are. And we ask, God, that you may help us to see ourselves in the same way that you see us. We are your children, and we are loved by you. May we, as we walk in our journey of faith, may we, Lord, be able to love others as you have loved us. And may we be able to just bring this same message of inclusion, of unity, of being together, even with all our differences. Lord, I pray for fathers today. I pray, God, for fathers and all the limitations that we have seen in our lives. For all the mistakes and all the things that bring us down. I pray that you may lift us up. That you may be the one who clarifies in our minds and our hearts how good you have been to all of us. And that as we see your love, we may be able then to express that love to our children and to others. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.